According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac...
The only forecast I care about is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards, all while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadra at the Holiday Market Shopping Center, in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from the Round Table Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the friendly oil change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. And after such an eventful year, so many great conversations, I really, week in, week out, enjoy talking to some of the most important people in politics and the news and sports. It's just, it's really something I've deeply enjoyed. But there were a lot of them this year, so I picked some of the best. And some of the best, I think you're really going to enjoy them, because just going to take little excerpts of some of the best. But we're going to kick things off by highlighting the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And this is like in the golden age of stupid. This one is just a little bit more stupid than the stupidest of the stupid. So let's start there.
Here's the headline. Swedish man teaches pet octopus to play the piano. Now, I guess if you're going to play the piano, the octopus has a built-in advantage. I don't know. I mean, it's only got 8 digits, right, compared to the 10 digits on your hand. But wouldn't that be entertaining to watch an octopus play something? So he spent 6 months trying to accomplish the worst and coolest thing he's ever done, teaching an octopus to play the piano. All right, that's the stupidest thing. All right, so I have watched this video. To say he's playing the piano is a bit much. So this guy converted a piano, and think of like a golf tee. He put them on the little, he put these golf tees on there so the octopus could grab it. And then if he pulled it, then it would make the sound of a piano. But the guy had to wire it so it came up out of the water, because the octopus isn't on dry land, out of the water, then went on the piano. So he's strumming a guitar, and he's trying to teach this octopus how to play. It's the lamest, funniest thing. Look it up, because it's just a one-minute video, and that rounds out the stupid.
All right, so I want to kick things off with just meeting one of the greatest there's ever been. When somebody dominates in their sport, somebody's just so dominating, it's really an honor to meet with them and hear from them. And there's none other than Mario Andretti.
You didn't just win a race or two. I mean, you won 111 times with the best racers in the world. What's the difference between you and, like, pretty much everybody else?
Well, you know, I could never get enough, you know, of the sport. And you always, to be able to focus properly, always, and go for a championship, you could only really commit to one series, one major series of the sport, which the sport has maybe 3 or 4 major disciplines, and you choose. Well, I went for the thoroughbreds ultimately, you know, which is single seaters, open wheel, which is Indy cars, or Formula One. That was my main focus. The rest of it was sidelined. Like, I was curious about sports prototypes. What goes on in Le Mans? You know, Daytona, all those places. I was curious about stock cars. You know, I had a lot of friends, you know, in NASCAR, extremely popular. You know, you got Indy 500, you got Daytona 500. Ooh, you know what? I had a relationship with Ford, because Ford was involved in Le Mans, and I was part of that, you know, since 1966. I won the national championship in 1965 in Indy cars with four power. So I had a relationship. I said, I would like to do Daytona, you know, and Daytona 500. So they put me with the top four team, home in the movie. And the Daytona, and pulled that off. I won the Daytona 500. I had my teammate was Freddie Lorenzo, who just passed away not too long ago. A great guy. He was called the Golden Boy of NASCAR at the time, you know, from Chicago. But he was, you know, a great one for me to really gauge myself against. And one thing led to another. You know, I had a good car, but I won that race. You know.
But how do you focus for? I mean, races are won by fractions of seconds, right? But the focus that it takes. I mean, the proximity between your vehicle and the other car is just minuscule, and yet somehow you're able to transition from Formula One to Indy to NASCAR. I mean, how?
But that was a challenge that I really, really...
But how do you do that? Like, is there a trick to it? Is there a Mario, hey, this is what I do?
Desire. Yeah. That's what drives you. You know, to me, driving a race car was just what I needed to be able to live happily, you know? And it was just... the only thing that I could think of in life that would make me happy professionally. And I had great support. You know, I had a wonderful lady, wonderful wife, that she was not a racer. She became, you know, she was never, I don't think she was ever really a fan of the sport technically.
Really? How did you meet her? I know she passed away a number of years ago.
Yeah,
sorry about that. But you were married for...
Yeah.
57 years, right?
7 years, yeah.
Yeah,
you're very informed.
Where did you originally meet her?
Met her at the high school dances, you know, at the Holy Family here in Nazareth, and she got baptized into the sport by watching us race, Aldo and I, you know, and her best friend was my brother's future wife, ultimately.
Oh, really?
They used to go to the races, to the dirt track races, you know, and watch us race and all that. And that's how she, you know, she didn't look for it, but she just happened to fall into it because of me, you know.
She loved you. But it's got to be scary. It's probably scary, right?
No question. Yeah. I mean, especially in those days, you know, the safety aspect of our sport was not there. I mean, it was a sport was very cruel in so many ways, because I can, you know, look at the pictures on the wall. But I lost some of my closest friends, almost all my closest friends, you know, in a race car, dying in a race car. And my always felt a guilt to some degree, but she never, like I said, going back to my wife, never made me feel. She knew how deep my passion was, that I could not function any other way. And so I had her support. But I knew that the responsibility I had as well, you know, that I had a young family. You know, I got married when I was 21, you know, and
were you fibbing about that age too? Or you fibbed a lot, Mario. Did you fib about being 21 when you got married?
No, you know, the biggest problem I had is once I was 23, I wanted to be 21. In the journals, you know, it was 23. I would be 23, you know, all of a sudden. No, I'm 21. Then I had to just fess up, you know.
We might need to check that driver's license of yours. By the way, what's it like driving in regular traffic? I mean, can you go 55 miles an hour down the freeway and not just want to pass everybody? Is that possible with you?
I go 55, 57.
Yeah, you are fibbing again, Mario. We're learning a lot about you. You're associated with Cadillac, and I do want to talk about that, but I'm going to pretend that I guess you're driving Cadillacs. You can't possibly drive 55. Are you kidding me? When you're used to going 200-plus miles an hour, how do you do that?
Well, very easily. You know, you're just, you're being patient and so on and so forth. But one thing that I do on the road, I'm proud of myself. I don't think I ever put anyone in danger, like cut anybody off, you know, to put them uneasy or create that. And I despise people that do that, you know, because it's unnecessary. Am I impatient? A little bit, yes. But I think I do it in a way that doesn't hurt anybody. And
well, I do it with a big smile on my face.
You know, and that's what got me away with some, any time that I was stopped, you know. It's I never put anyone in danger, is what I'm saying. So I
Have you ever gotten pulled over? Did police ever pull you over?
A couple times.
Yeah? And do they realize who you are when they look at your driver's license?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
What did they say?
Well, we had a nice conversation, and they know that I didn't put anybody in danger, so that's the main thing.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In the 1970s and 80s, one of the most successful songwriting duos was Elton John and Bernie Taupin. Elton John discusses their music composing relationship.
He writes the lyrics first and gives them to me, and then I write the songs for them. In the old days, I would slice bits of verses out and cut things here and there. It's not so bad now, but it's always been lyrics first. Very, very rarely has I ever sometimes suggested a title for a song or maybe a melody, but Don't Go Breaking My Heart is the only one I can think of. And I enjoy that process. People say, you know, why don't you write your own lyrics? Well, I don't really want to. I enjoy writing with Bernie. I love it. And it's a magical, and he's one of my dearest friends, and I love him so much. But why would I want to change something that gives me so much pleasure?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Even though December is the month you might be spending more dough than usual for holiday gifts, the month also provides some great deals that include end-of-year sales at big-box retailers that feature price cuts on major appliances, both big and small. If you're looking for some beauty and fragrance items, many retailers sell discounted sets of makeup, perfume, hair, and skincare products. You can buy gifts for others and at the same time stock up on your favorite beauty and fragrance brands at discount prices. And if you want to treat yourself to a dinner out while doing your holiday shopping or need to pick up a last-minute gift, many restaurants and retailers offer deals on gift cards in December. After Christmas, you can find significant discounts on holiday-specific items and remaining seasonal inventory. While shopping, don't overlook opportunities to stack deals by combining store coupons, cashback offers, and clearance pricing to score some great savings. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Snook, who leads Peacock's All Her Fault, about a mother searching for her missing son and the mysterious circumstances which unfold from there. Snook spoke about how being a mom added to her perspective on the role.
Yeah, I was only able to draw on that for my own experiences, or my, I've never lost her at all, but the imagination, the world building of that, what it would be like to have the worst thing happen.
Previously starring as Shiv Roy on Succession, she shared what she was looking for in projects following the hit series.
I've been really kind of conscious about putting Succession in a different box. Like, it's not a thing that can ever be topped or compared with, or that was such an amazing experience that was career changing.
And you're also an EP on this for the first time. So what is sort of a takeaway that you can bring to whatever project you do next?
When you're an EP on every project is a different way of inhabiting that role. For me, what was really important was setting a culture on set and to have a kind of everyone's welcome equality.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
Had a great conversation with Alexi Lawless. Now, we got the World Cup, soccer's coming up. I had a really enjoyable conversation with him. I hope you remember this one. If not, here's a highlight from that conversation.
Like, I love watching the game, attending a game. I find it relaxing and fun. And yeah, now, you're part of an effort here. This is amazing to me, but the Major League Soccer, the MLS, is celebrating 30th season. I wouldn't have guessed that. I mean, it seems more recent because there's been such a surge in personalities and attendance and, you know, like here in Salt Lake City, you know, we have Real Salt Lake. They're selling out those stadiums, hard to get a ticket, and a venue that's been built specific for soccer, and that's happening across the country. Tell us more about what's going on, because Fox Sports is a big part of it. You're a big part of it, but the success, it's been, you know, it's really catching on across the country.
Yeah, so, you know, we started out talking about, you know, your father and his involvement in the old NASL. And for your listeners that, you know, that aren't necessarily into soccer, the NASL was an old league in the United States, and it came and went, as was the case with a lot of leagues. So, you know, our past is littered with teams and leagues that unfortunately have folded. And there was this Wild West and then this kind of barren wasteland after the demise of the NASL. And for those that may remember back in the 1900s when I was running around in 1994, the U.S. hosted the Men's World Cup. And off of that, 2 years later, we were brought to market basically a new version of an American soccer league in the form of MLS. Now, as the saying goes, you come a long way, baby. And I could not have imagined back in 1996 when myself and a bunch of other guys actually returned from different places. I was playing over in Italy to start this league and the proverbial league of our own that we had talked about in the back of buses and bars and everywhere else, that 30 years on, we would be, like I said, going into our 30th year, our 30th team in San Diego, which is just coming online this year. But on and off the field, the things that have happened, the infrastructure, the stadiums, the soccer-specific stadiums that we have, but more importantly, the climate and the culture has completely changed. And you mentioned the culture of soccer. It's a very, very different experience to be a soccer fan, and it's very communal. It's very tribal, like a lot of sports. But it's very different. It's a 2-hour type of event when you're actually going to it, but it goes well beyond that in terms of your identity. And you know, growing up, there were kind of the soccer kids, and you know who they were and the way they dressed, and they were wearing these types of shoes and stuff like that. Well, it's become much more acceptable, and for a whole generation, whether it's Major League Soccer or anything else, it's just part of their sports palette when it comes to professional leagues, and they are connoisseurs of the game, if you will, with what's going on around the world also. So it's wonderful. Here's to another 30 years when it comes to Major League Soccer and the pathways that it's opened up on and off the field for multiple generations of American soccer players.
Yeah, the league is just kicked off, and they got some big stars out there too. Now, you may not be totally into soccer, and appreciate you listening to this podcast, but I think what we're talking about is it just transcends so much. It's so much part of the culture now. Yeah, I mean, obviously you got basketball, you got football, you got golf, you got, you know, a lot of different sports, but hey, I kind of like them all, but I love soccer. So, but you got Lionel Messi. I to have him out there and see him in person is kind of a special moment.
If you saw Leo Messi, and for those that don't know, he is, you know, arguably the greatest player ever to play the game, plays for Argentina, and over the last couple of years has come over to play in Major League Soccer down in Inter Miami, and fundamentally changed the business off the field, and then, to be quite honest, just been incredible on the field. And you expect that from, you know, arguably the GOAT of the game. But if you saw him walking down the street and you didn't know anything about soccer, you would not look at him and diminutive stature, shall we say, an unassuming look, and say, there goes arguably the greatest player ever to play the game. And that's part of what I love about the game of soccer. But he has fundamentally changed the equation coming over here. And he's been everything that you want from a star, in that stars are the ones that when they step on the field, everybody's looking at them. A lot of people have their arms folded, and they are expecting magic to happen. And stars embrace that, and they give you that magic on a continual basis. Like I said, when people are expecting that to happen. And he has done that, I mean, just time and time again. It's nothing new for him, but it's really been really fun to see him kind of explore the United States. And now, you know, a year and a half from now, the World Cup is coming back to the United States, the Men's World Cup coming back to the United States, and Messi, playing for Argentina, will be defending his World Cup championship right in his backyard in the United States. So it's there's a lot going on right now, but it's good stuff when it comes to Messi relative to MLS, Messi relative to the World Cup, and Messi relative to soccer in the United States.
Yeah, the World Cup, I mean, will take over, and it's really a North American experience that's going to happen in 2026. It takes literally kind of 4 years of matches and whatnot to get to the point where we're going to see some of the best soccer in the world, and with these, and you talk about rabid fans who are, I mean, some of these countries will literally shut down when their team is playing. If an Argentina is playing, you can't, there's nothing else happening in that country, because literally every person in that country will be watching, and it's such a great sport. But let's go back to Messi for a second, because every team knows you're a defender, right? You've had guys that are like, okay, this guy scores goals, we got to defend against him. But his burst of speed, he can just be walking around there, and all of a sudden, I don't know how he does it, but that's the magic that you're talking about. Talk to me about it. Being a defender, knowing you got a great striker you're going against, this guy scores goals. How do you I mean, nobody's really kind of figured out how to defend against him, but what do you do in a situation like that?
I think great athletes recognize space and how space works. And, you know, Gretzky used to talk about being where the puck is going to be, not where the puck is. And I think right. Messi has that mathematician in him, and the geometry and the triangles that are a huge part of soccer and a huge part of sports, to be quite honest, many sports. And so I think he recognizes where the space is, when he needs to be in that space. He certainly has the quickness to get there. And then when he arrives in that space at the right time, either with the ball or to receive the ball, his first touch, a lot of people talk in soccer about your first touch, because that's the touch that enables you, obviously, to control the ball, and it's where most of the mistakes happen. And his first touch is just so subtle and so soft, and sets up that next touch. And that could be a shot on goal, it could be him diamond somebody out with an incredible pass, him dribbling. But his first touch in that space, and that split second of time that it gives him to have that touch, I think that's part of where his ultimate greatness lies, in his understanding and his math genius of where to be.
Yeah, you know, I was watching some of those games when he first came to play for the MLS. And, you know, if you just kind of isolate on him and just sort of watch him, he's casually walking around. He'll maybe jog a little bit. He maybe get a shot or two off, and it's nothing special. And then all of a sudden, he just turns on the juice, and you're like, how did he do that? Like, okay, they show the replay, and I'm thinking, I still don't understand how he pulled that off. That's sort of the, you know, they call it the beautiful sport, and there's a reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he embodies the, you know, don't work harder, work smarter type of thing. And it is amazing when people who have not seen him in person, because sometimes on television there's not necessarily the ISO camera. So when right. you go to an actual game and see him, a lot of people's attention is focused on him, even when the ball might not even be near him. And so many people I've talked to are amazed at the downtime that he has. But what he's doing is, again, just being smarter about whether it's keeping something in reserve or recognizing that he doesn't need to be running here or there. He just needs to run at the right time. And you can see it in his eyes and obviously see whatever synapses are happening up there where he clicks into gear in that moment. And it's, you know, it's a, it's almost as if he smells it before anybody else. And so his ability to smell things before anybody else make him an incredibly smart player and therefore an incredibly effective player. And you could probably say that about Jordans and all the great players out there when it comes to their sport.
You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ready to boost your learning and earning potential? Shasta College can help. Full-time students may qualify for 2 years of free tuition to jumpstart a high-demand career. Pressed for time? We get it. That's why we offer 8-week compressed, cohort-based, and online or hybrid classes designed for busy adults. Spring classes start January 21st, so now's the perfect time to plan your next step. For more information, contact ShastaCollege.edu.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente, Rare Pink, Happy Ending. Extremely limited and rare, this is a perfecto in every sense of the word. A spicy Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Dominican binder, and luscious Nicaraguan Dominican filler. Offer up notes of oak, leather, cocoa, and spice. Proceeds from the sale of this cigar benefit breast cancer research. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Her shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. from our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
In the house.
Sarah Adams does some of the most important work. You know, she's one of those hard workers behind the scenes. You may not know her, but you should, because she does some of the most incredibly difficult, important work behind the scenes. And what she did, how she did it, we had a good long conversation. But here's the conversation with Sarah Adams, at least part of it. You do some very interesting, very important work. And it's been a few years since you and I have spoken.
Yeah, I mean, we first crossed paths in 2014, so a decade ago, and it was when Trey Gowdy called me to talk to me, obviously, about what happened in Benghazi, and then he wanted to talk in person, so the two of you flew down, and then Boone was all crazy, and he's like, we can't trust these congressmen, and he made you, like, meet me in, like, the flight path of, like, the Tampa airport by the FBI office, so, and he was, like, dressed casual. I felt so bad.
No, this is funny. So this is the story. So, you know, I was the subcommittee chairman when the Benghazi happened, and then I was the first person to go, a member of Congress, to go into Libya. Things weren't right. We were trying to do investigations, trying to gain people's trust, to people who actually knew stuff and were actually on the ground. So finally, we start to get to people, and then the call came, and it went down like this. Hey, listen, if you want to meet with the right people, you're going to have to fly to Tampa. And then when you get there, go to a payphone. Like, I didn't payphone. Who has a payphone? There's a payphone. They described where to go. So go to the payphone. Gowdy can't. He bless his heart. He's not a logistics person, right? So I go over there and I dial the number, and whoever it is answered said, okay, rent a car, and then you just start driving south. I'm like, well, what does that mean? So here we go. We get into the car and we just start driving south. We'll make ourselves known. Oh, great. Okay, what are we doing? So there's Trey and I driving south just by ourselves, and sure enough, they let themselves know, and we pulled out. We followed them to some park, right? And we had to walk. It was super hot. I had to walk way over to some bench that was under this pavilion, and finally we got to meet and chat, right? I mean, that was my version of it.
Oh, yeah, that's us. We're kind of in, like, the trust no one category, and it takes a bit of time.
Well, explain to people. Okay, so that was the start, and it was really illuminating because there was so much we didn't know, so much we wanted to know, so much we needed to know. But maybe give some background to some people who aren't as familiar with you. Like, growing up, what you did, I don't know what we can say about what you did and did not do in your career, but up until that point, kind of explain who you were and what your role was and why you knew so much about what was going on.
Well, I grew up as a small-town girl in a town of 3,000, and when you grow up in those environments, all you want to do is, like, get out and see the world. So I went to college first for international business, then international relations. It was in college that my focus was on Kashmir, which was dumb if I wasn't really going to go work at the CIA. So it's kind of the only place I could apply to. So I applied when I was the night before I was supposed to be defending my thesis. I applied. They called me about 4 or 5 weeks later. I did my first interview. And then I was in maybe about 6 months later. So I got into the process pretty quickly. Over time,
wait,
in CIA.
Can I stop for a second here? Who wakes up and goes to college and said, I really want to focus on Kashmir? Like, are you like a party of one? Like, nobody does that, right? What was the fascination there?
No, it's because when you're in college, they make everybody choose something different. And I was so far down the line and people were choosing countries, right? Like France, Germany, Saudi Arabia. And so when it got to me, every good country was taken. So I was like, what if I just do the region of Kashmir? And then it became my focus out of college. Like, remember, you're in your early 20s. Like,
right,
this is
right.
How, like, things go for you, right? You make one decision, and then you're on that path for a long time.
Wow. Okay, sorry. So you focus on that, and that gets somebody's attention.
Yeah, well, I applied to the CIA, and then the funny thing is, in my first interview, my only interview, a lady comes, she's late, and she's like, oh, your interviewer is sick. I'm also sick. This is only going to be a few minutes. She asked me one question. Why do you want to work here? I told her. She's like, okay, we're good. And then she, like, leaves. And I was like, okay, either they box checked because this is a government job and they had to interview me, or, like, they were going to hire me no matter what. And then, yeah, I got the job. So it was, like, the weirdest interview I've ever had. And then, as you know, you go through, obviously, the background check, the polygraph, and then you go into the building, and that's even weirder. They give you no – it's worse than your experience in Tampa, right? Because they're like, go to this gate. And then even when you get in the parking lot, you don't know where to park. You don't know where the doors are. When you walk in, you kind of feel like you're going to be arrested, right? Because you're like, I'm not supposed to be in here. So it's a very strange thing. But, yeah, so I went in. Obviously, my first focus was the Pakistan-Afghanistan theater. Then I actually got recruited to go work in Libya because a lot of terrorists from that region, as you can imagine, were flooding into Libya after the fall of Gaddafi. And then my last tour there, I was working against the Iranian Quds Force. And then that's when I met you and Trey, and you guys recruited me out. And then I haven't gone back to the agency and now have done all these investigations, like, on the side with Boone, you know, not with the intelligence community.
So it's a fascinating life because, and I'm sure so much of it you can't talk about or can't, you know, illuminate like you could in your experience. But yeah, I mean, you gained quite a reputation. I mean, what I've learned about you over the course of time is, wow, she really knows her stuff. And, you know, it's typically a man's world, right? I mean, it shouldn't be, but it is. But man, you did some really important work, and I don't know how to properly thank you and acknowledge it and recognize it other than to say I've seen and heard a lot more than I can talk about right now, and it was pretty amazing, and I just want to say thank you for that incredible service.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because a lot of targeters are females, and most people don't know why that happened, and it happened basically after 9/11, the job didn't exist, and so, like, women started doing extra work in the CIA, and they started bridging the gap where there wasn't roles to do certain things because there's doing analysts were doing more operations and that type of thing. And so they just started doing targeting work on top of their day job, and then they made it like a profession. So that's why when you hear of, like, the famous women from Outstation, right? You hear of the women. You hear of Maya, who got Osama bin Laden, right? So it's right. Really interesting. It's a female cadre. It's actually very rare when there's a male targeter.
Marcus Lemonis, the fixer, the prophet, the person who knows how to run your business and help fix your business. You know what? He's an entirely enjoyable person. Super smart. He's got shows on Fox and just really, really enjoy him. I think you will learn a lot. I've always learned a lot by listening to him and was fascinated by his story. Here's part of it.
You know, business is also about overcoming obstacles and things you didn't anticipate and personalities, right? Which is often what I saw when I was watching your previous shows.
Mm-hmm. It's usually the dynamics of the people themselves, their interaction with themselves, oddly enough, and their interaction of other people. And, you know, the name actually came from a very different place than most people are even aware of. I have not shared this with many people, but I did a documentary for NBC in 2018. I went back to Lebanon, which is where I was born. And I went over there under the premise that I was going to understand business and how it worked in the Middle East. And the network ended up doing a ton of research on my background and surprised me with a trip to my orphanage to unpack all the papers and, you know, my original name and my original birth parents and, you know, far more of an emotional journey than I would have ever imagined. But what happened to me when I landed, and you're familiar with this as a journalist, but what happened to me when I landed is that the network introduced me to a gentleman, and they said, he's your fixer. And I said, I don't know what that means. And they said, well, in the world of journalism, it's a person on the ground that understands the territory. They understand the landscape, the do's and don'ts. They have access to information and resources. They keep you out of trouble. They take you in the right direction. And they really build a bridge from one side to the other. And that always stuck with me. I never really understood conceptually that idea. And when we started this new show, I went back to CNBC and asked them for the name because, yeah, you know, the prophet, you know, I can say this to you candidly, is me. It's not the show. And they declined and sat down with Fox and said, you know, what do we do here? We want to have something that feels similar. That's how we ended up with the name. And it really stemmed from my travels to Lebanon and really how I felt about my journey there and really what my responsibility is with these business owners. It's that I've never made a penny, just so we're like, I'm kind of embarrassed.
Really?
I've never made a penny on any of the transactions.
Huh.
No. And I've never gotten a dollar back. In fact, in almost every situation, I ended up investing more than the viewer saw and ended up losing more than the viewer ever really realized. I don't have any regrets for it, though. I don't. It's, you know, we're all going to end our life at some point, and I'm happy as a capitalist, because I am a capitalist. I make money every day of the things that I do, but there's a moment in time where I can take the gifts that God gave me and, you know, do something different with it. It doesn't always have to, everything doesn't always have to come back with a check.
That's fascinating, because that's kind of, I mean, it's counter to the original title, right? The Prophet.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, I had no idea.
Yeah, the idea in the name, oddly enough, The Prophet, was a bit of a double entendre, which is, you know, to make money and to help people make money, but to also help people help themselves. And, you know, I think that, I would say more people that watch the show, school teachers, young kids, Jamie Dimon, who I could tell you that story if we had time, would all say that it was really a good example to show people that good work and handshakes and hard work and relationships matter. And that's really what business is about ultimately.
All right. Well, there's the segue to two stories. First of all, the growing up, your personal journey in Lebanon and the orphanage. Tell us about that, because I've read a little bit about it, but hearing it in your voice will be different. And then, of course, let's talk about Jamie Dimon. Can't pass that.
Yeah, the Jamie Dimon one's excellent. You know, my background, if for those that have never heard of me before or don't know what I do or anything like that, there's one thing that you can Google. If you Google my name, and what comes up is the American flag. I have gotten in trouble with, I think seven cities now. I'm currently in litigation with two of them. And there's a reason I tell you this story. It's over my 130-foot flagpole and 3,200-square-foot flag that I fly at all of my businesses. And it's really, you know, the reason that I do it is it's a bit of a love letter. I am an immigrant. I came here legally, right? I did all the things the right way, filed the paperwork, took my naturalization test when I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, and had to, you know, be a really good steward of being a visitor in the country. And over time, I started to realize that the gifts that I've been given, not only from my parents that adopted me, but from this country that gave me a platform, gave me a chance to make a living, gave me a chance to employ people. Like, what other love letter could I actually communicate to people other than the flag? And so I have about 200 of them up around the country, more square footage in flags flying in America than any other company in America, including all the government buildings, oddly enough.
Wow.
It really is a function of me understanding where I came from, understanding how I got here, and understanding that I'm a very small fraction of that story, and that the military, the civil service folks, the school teachers, they're the reason that I have the freedom to do what I want to do. And that's why I do what I do.
You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. More to come.
More Jason in the House next.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be.
If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A New Hampshire cold case murder solved half a century after the crime. The person responsible, the prime suspect all along, who walked free because of a botched FBI report. 22-year-old Judith Lord was found dead inside her Concord apartment May 20th, 1975, months after moving in with her husband and baby. A building manager found her dead in a bed upstairs, her infant son alive in his crib in the next room. An autopsy showed Lord died of homicidal strangulation. She had also been sexually assaulted after clearing her husband, who had recently moved out after assaulting her. Investigators eyed Lord's neighbor, Ernest Theodore Gable, who was 24 at the time. But a flawed FBI hair analysis incorrectly excluded Gable as a suspect, even though his fingerprints were found at the scene and witnesses said Lord feared him. Gable was never charged and died in 1987. He was stabbed in Los Angeles. The attorney general said if he were still alive, he'd be facing a first-degree murder charge. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with the cast of Peacock's new mystery whodunit series, All Her Fault, starring Sarah Snook as a mother searching for her missing son as mysterious circumstances unfold. Jake Lacy and Jay Ellis discussed how it's a series where intrigue starts right away.
You dive right in and then are sort of left going like, it could be any of these people or someone else.
I immediately wanted to jump to like to page 48 or whatever it is of that pilot, that first episode, to figure out, like, well, where do we go from here?
Abby Elliott and Daniel Monks have tips for those ready to guess along.
There's so many subtle moments throughout, you know, the first few episodes. You know, if you blink, you might miss it.
Watch with friends or with people, family members, partners. It's very similar to, like, watching The Traitors. It's like, is arguing and debating over who you think what or how.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Phil Simms, the New York Giants legend, two-time Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl 21 MVP. Really, I got to know him in Utah at an event we had there, and then he joined us on the podcast. Well, with the heart of football season happening right now, nothing like reflecting back on a part of the conversation I had with Phil Simms.
Your NFL experience, I mean, what an incredible thrill. I mean, so let's go back. You go into high school. Did you get heavily recruited out of high school, or did you know, you didn't go to USC or UCLA or some big, huge school?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, how did you end up at where you did in college? Right. And I mean, obviously everything worked out well because you thrived and you got recruited and you got drafted and it, you know, you're the Super Bowl MVP, for goodness sake.
You know, it was a different world back then. So we're talking about what, 1973 or four?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no film. You know, I never saw, not once in all the years I've played in high school, did we ever watch a film of us playing or the team we were playing or anything. There was no such thing. And so it was just every week, we'll just do what we do. Hope it works against whoever we're playing. And we don't even know what they do. But I was not heavily recruited. I was recruited much, much more in baseball than I was football. But I wanted to go play football, and I even said to a few schools that were, I don't think they were ever going to offer me, but I said, can I play baseball too during the spring? And they go, hey, no, we're not going to give you a baseball scholarship so you can play football. And so, oh, okay, you know, I was very shy in high school. But Morehead State was really the only one that offered me a full scholarship.
Did you, and what was that like when you so you got a sense, scouts are coming out, you're going to get you're going to get drafted, right?
Right.
What was that moment like? I mean, that's got to be amazing, right?
It was awesome. It was unbelievable. You know, after my junior year, I had a really big junior year, you know, for back then, you know, now it would be, you wouldn't last three games because you got to throw for more yards than we did, but we threw for a lot and for that era. But spring practice is over my junior year. One of the coaches we had had moved on to the University of Kentucky. And when I was in high school, I played against him, his team, because he was the head coach of one of the big Catholic schools in Louisville. And they were very good, and we scrimmaged them. They would destroy us. But he did spend 1 year at Morehead State, and we knew each other, of course. Whatever, all the scouts are at Kentucky doing their players. And one of the head scouts back then, you scouted for like 8 different NFL teams. And the guy goes to him, "Oh, man, I got to go to Morehead State. There can't be anything down there. I'm not going." And the coach, let me think of his name. I can see him. Bill Glazer. He says, "No, I think you better go." And the guy goes, "Why?" "They got a quarterback you got to look at." And so the guy comes down to visit me. And illegally, I go out and throw for him on the field. He says,
"Yeah, like I did." Yeah, exactly.
And I said, "Sure, I'll do it. I don't care. Throwing? Oh, wow, that's really going to be rough." And, you know, I'm kind of. So I go out and I probably throw 10 passes. And he goes, "Oh, my gosh, I've seen enough." And I said, "Really? That's all you want to see?" He goes, "Well, show me how far you can throw one." So I did that. He measured it and all the whole thing. And he goes, "All right, where's your head coach? Come with me." We go and see the head coach. And he goes, "Coach, when I write this report up about your quarterback, you're going to have people here every single day watching him. I just want to warn you, get a lot of coffee and a lot of donuts because, you know." But he did it. And then, of course, I realized, wow, it's going to happen for me basically no matter how I played my senior year. Because even for the pros back then, Jason, they had to come to our place to watch film of me. You know, now you could tell me BYU's quarterback, I could watch every one of his throws here in the next hour on my computer. So it was a different era, and that helped me get drafted as high as I did too.
What do you credit?
Everybody came down to work me out. I mean, it was almost every day, and it was awesome. You know,
so
I'm telling you. I go out and throw. If they came to look at you, you go, "Oh, you want me to kick some? Okay, that's pretty cool, because that's what I do."
Yeah, did that every day anyway. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
but it was really, my last thing is, it was really great. What's great about it, I met Joe Gibbs. These are assistant. Bill Walsh had just taken the job at the 49. I mean, I get to meet all these head coaches and everything. That was what, and they were all, of course, very nice. And it was just, that was a big thrill. You know, to tell people, "Hey, Bill Walsh is coming in. I need receivers." Heck, I had 10 of them out there. So it was a great experience for a lot of my friends and, of course, for me, too.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. It's been quite a year. We got a lot more coming up, but I really do appreciate your time and listening. I hope it put a smile on your face. Hope you can go back and actually review the list of podcasts we've had, because we've done a couple hundred of them now, and I think you'll find them illuminating. Some of the best happened this year. Some of them happened before then. The one I did with Tyrus, ooh, you got to listen to that one. That one's really good. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you can rate this podcast, subscribe to it, and I hope you have the happiest of holidays, whatever you might, you know, celebrate this year. Hope you're able to do so with a smile on your face. And thanks for joining us and being part of Jason in the House. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Thanks so much for joining us. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-smoker can get $1 billion of coverage for $75 per month level rate for 10 years, or a man age 50 non-smoker can obtain $500,000 coverage for a month premium of $110 level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for a new or replacement term life insurance, call Termbusters today for a quote at 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Rate and availability may vary by state. Sample quotes based on preferred non-smoker. Underwriting and exam required. Call 1-800-908-7636 for details. Paid for by Robert Levenger Insurance Agents.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Deposed Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro arrived in the U.S. late last night to face criminal charges. We now have word he will be officially arraigned tomorrow in New York City. Secretary of State Marco Rubio this morning is suggesting that the U.S. will not necessarily govern Venezuela exactly, other than enforcing an existing oil quarantine on the country unless the nation quits shipping all of the drugs that are coming into this country. President Trump says Maduro was no great loss. He was never duly elected and never did a thing to help his country.
The illegitimate dictator Maduro was the kingpin of a vast criminal network responsible for trafficking colossal amounts of deadly and illicit drugs into the United States.
The president says the U.S. will partner with Venezuela to revive its productive oil capacity, and this will benefit both countries in the long haul.
This partnership of Venezuela with the United States of America, a country that everybody wants to be involved with because of what we were able to do and accomplish, will make the people of Venezuela rich, independent, and safe.
Gunmen have killed at least 30 villagers and abducted several others in northern Nigeria's Niger state, according to local police. The attack happened late last night when the gunmen stormed into the village, opened fire on residents, and burned down the local market and houses. Some residents report the death toll could be higher, with people still missing at this hour. They also claim security forces have not yet arrived, despite statements by the police. Bulgaria is welcoming the new year with a new currency. The nation of 6.4 million in southeastern Europe will be the 21st member of the shared euro. This means deeper integration with the EU, smoother trade, travel, and investments. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
You ever wonder why Verizon charges twice as much as Pure Talk for the same basic service? Think it might have something to do with the fact that Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion. That's billion with a B. Yeah, Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. That's why they can offer unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Save an additional 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say the words micro. That's #250, micro.
Betty Boop and Blondie are among the highlights of titles entering the public domain with the arrival of the new year. The first cartoons that featured Betty Boop and the first Blondie comic strips debuted in 1930, and with the passage of 95 years, their U.S. copyrights expired. The first novels featuring teen detective Nancy Drew for kids, and the first book featuring Agatha Christie's famous investigator Miss Marple, also come into the public domain, as do William Faulkner's novel As I Lay Dying and Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon. Films becoming public property include the Marx Brothers' Animal Crackers and an early Best Picture winner, Cimarron. Hundreds marched in silence today to honor victims of the New Year's Eve fire at a bar in Switzerland. The fire left 40 people dead and many injured. Mourners attended a mass at Chapel St. Christoph before marching to the Le Constellation Bar. News and analysis at townhall.com. A women's tennis great returning to a major tournament for the first time in 5 years.
Seven-time Grand Slam singles champion Venus Williams has received a wild card entry for the Australian Open beginning January 18th in Melbourne. The tournament announced Friday that the 45-year-old Williams would make a return to Melbourne Park 28 years after her first appearance. In 1998, she defeated her younger sister Serena in the second round before eventually losing in the quarterfinals to Lindsay Davenport. Venus had announced in September that she would play in Auckland, New Zealand, and also at the Hobart International a week later. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Today is Sunday, January the 4th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including author and historian Doris Kearns Goodwin. She's 83 years old. Country singer Patti Loveless is 69. NFL running back Derrick Henry, 32. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Get ready for the return of our pro football season picks. Simply swipe your River Club card at any promotional kiosk. Pick your teams for the week using our fully automated pick and win football promotion.
It's that easy.
Five winners receive up to $200 in free slot play every week.
And our final week, you can win up to a $1,000 cash prize.
And a pair of tickets for our annual Ultimate Tailgate Party. For complete promotional details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
President Trump welcomed Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu to Mar-a-Lago to discuss the state of U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza, alongside issues relating to Iranian nuclear development and ballistic missiles, the West Bank, and rebuilding the Gaza Strip. This meeting came just a day after President Trump met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for more than 2 hours to discuss a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia. While the finer details of the plan have yet to be ironed out, both leaders expressed optimism toward an agreement being reached in the near future.
We'll see if it gets done, but it's very close, certainly. Nobody would even have a chance of getting it to where it is right now. Nobody would have thought that was possible.
We discussed all the aspects of the peace framework, which includes, and we have great achievements, 20-point peace plan, 90% agreed, and U.S.-Ukraine security guarantees, 100% agreed.
Meanwhile, as the United States heads into a midterm year, President Trump's domestic and foreign policies will face their biggest test yet, with a potential shift of power in Congress threatening to stifle or even undo large portions of his agenda. Lots to discuss as we enter the new year. Let's bring in our panel. Chief Communications Officer at Targeted Victory, Matt Gorman, former Biden White House advisor, Yemisi Egbewale, and Fox News correspondent, Lucas Tomlinson. Lucas, you've been following these leaders at Mar-a-Lago. It seems like there's progress, but some kind of realistic pushback in both cases.
Well, yeah, certainly we've come a long way since the February meeting in the Oval Office between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. although there are a lot of questions about, well, Ukraine appears very on board. We heard both from President Trump and Zelensky that they're 90-95% of the way there to a deal. Of course, one party was absent from these talks, and that is the Russians. And we heard from Trump's former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, yesterday on Fox and Friends, who said Putin has conceded literally nothing in the peace talks. And but over when the Israeli Prime Minister visited, you saw President Trump in lockstep with Prime Minister Netanyahu. There were some reports ahead of the visit saying the Trump administration wanted to see Israel move faster with help reconstructing Gaza. But you also heard from Israeli officials saying, hey, you know, Hamas has to disarm. You know, terrorists cannot be, you know, rolling around Gaza armed. And also they can't be ruling the government. And what happened when both President Trump and the Israeli prime minister emerged from their meeting? You saw two leaders in lockstep. President Trump said Hamas must disarm or there'd be, quote, hell to pay. He also signaled a very openness to the United States supporting Israeli airstrikes on Iran. He said, President Trump said he would say yes to strikes against Iran's ballistic missile program. And he said immediately he would support strikes on Iran's nuclear program.
Yeah, you see, in both cases, the Hamas ceasefire with Israel and vice versa and the Ukraine situation, there is progress and there has been, but it is that last bit getting across the finish line in Ukraine, the territories and what happens with Vladimir Putin when it comes to those demands and in the Hamas situation, the disarmament, these are two major sticking points.
Yeah, and it feels for a lot of Democrats and maybe for some Republicans that it isn't about how much do we support Ukraine, but how long are we going to have to support them? Look, no one disputes that Vladimir Putin is a bad guy here. That's not controversial. I think what is controversial for a lot of folks is the sense that we have had endless back and forth. We've had meetings, summits, statements, joint statements. There is not a clear sense of what success actually looks like or how any of this ends. And politically, it's starting to feel like time, money, and attention without any momentum in both situations with Ukraine and with Israel. And I think this will play really heavy as we go into 2026. And the president standing with Netanyahu presents a problem politically for a lot of the younger generations. There is a political divide when it comes to what does unconditional support look like that the U.S. has traditionally given Israel. So I think the president really has to find out how to get past these sticking points and cross the finish line in both of these situations because patience is running thin for those in America looking at the economic problems domestically here.
You know, if we're all the pre-BB meeting coverage, Lucas, on tension and kind of a back and forth between the Trump administration officials and Israeli officials on handling of a number of things, West Bank, how they're handling the ceasefire and some of the attacks that they've initiated against Hamas since the ceasefire in October. It really didn't seem like that publicly in how they publicly talked about the relationship and publicly talked about kind of being on the same page.
That's right, Brett. And you heard President Trump acknowledge when he first walked to the podium alongside the Israeli prime minister. President Trump mentioned some differences, but then he quickly turned to they're on the same page. He announced his support and frankly shared the urgency with Netanyahu that Hamas must be disarmed. He said there'd be hell to pay. It makes you think that some of these leaks, some of these reports are probably coming from staffers at the White House because what you saw is a president in lockstep with the Israeli prime minister.
Yeah. And Yemisi, you said that that's politically dangerous, but, you know, for a big part of the Jewish American community, they still have, even though they have reticence about Bibi Netanyahu specifically, there is obviously a lot of support for Israel.
And yes, and that's understandable. I think the president, though, has to be sensitive to the fact that there's a growing constituency that are asking harder questions. They're asking why this conflict continues to dominate the bandwidth of our foreign policy, why it feels that funding is always automatic, and why any criticism of the Israeli government is viewed almost as a disloyalty. Look, we're talking about a president that ran on a platform of America First that started this administration by disbanding USAID with the intention that the U.S. would stop writing blank checks for foreign aid. And so sometimes I think that we forget that there are people who believe that the president should remain in the driver's seat. And sometimes in these conversations with Netanyahu, it doesn't feel like the president is necessarily driving it. It feels like Israel is driving it and the U.S. is following course.
Well, 2025 is a very newsy year, and 2026 provides probably even more news to come with a midterm pending in November. Panel, thanks so much. Happy New Year. You can hear more of this series at FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download your podcast. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Matt, Yemisi, and Lucas, I'm Brett Baer.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with the cast of Peacock's new mystery whodunit series, All Her Fault, starring Sarah Snook as a mother searching for her missing son as mysterious circumstances unfold. Jake Lacy and Jay Ellis discussed how it's a series where intrigue starts right away.
You dive right in and then are sort of left going like, it could be any of these people or someone else. I immediately wanted to jump to like to page 48 or whatever it is of that pilot, that first episode, to figure out, like, well, where do we go from here?
Abby Elliott and Daniel Monks have tips for those ready to guess along.
There's so many subtle moments throughout, you know, the first few episodes. You know, if you blink, you might miss it.
Watch with friends or with people, family members, partners. It's very similar to, like, watching The Traitors. It's like, arguing and debating over who you think what or how.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
The Bible promises that God is close to the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, many say it is because churches need to minister more to the souls sitting in the pews. Author and evangelist Nick Bojicic.
A lot of us are not really having an honest audit, check, and inventory of even just the brokenhearted within the four walls of the church, let alone trying to save the lost.
For 20 years, years, Voyagic has ministered to those in pain, knowing what it feels like to be angry with God over life circumstances. Born with no arms or legs, he almost committed suicide as a child, but the grace of God intervened. His book, Champions for the Brokenhearted, shows how to have faith in God's purpose and plan.
That's the epiphany, the revelation of realizing, I don't need to know the plan, I just need to believe that he has one.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind,
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now bring you my full interview with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who joined me earlier this week to discuss the state of the ceasefire in Gaza and his thoughts on the region moving forward.
Mr. Prime Minister, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Good to be with you, and it's an opportunity to wish you and the American people a happy new year.
Let's talk about the ceasefire and where it stands. What has been so hard about getting to phase two, which is of this peace plan, the Hamas disarmament, getting an international stabilization force on the ground in Gaza?
Well, one word, disarmament. Hamas committed to disarm. It's got still about 20,000 people with basically Kalashnikov rifles, which they use periodically to execute anyone who doesn't want the continuation of their tyranny. So they kill a lot of Palestinians who don't want them. And they have altogether 60,000 AK rifles. That's what disarmament means. You got to take all these rifles, take them away from them, and break up those terror tunnels that they have. Still hundreds of kilometers of terror tunnels. Hamas refuses to do it.
Do you think you'll get there? Do you think you'll get to phase two, even though there's this unwillingness by Hamas to disarm?
Look, I think we have to give it a chance. There's an attempt to bring an international force. So far, it hasn't come to fruition, but we'll give it a chance. Because if it can be done, again, as the president and I have said, if it can be done the easy way, fine. And if not, it'll be done another way.
Settler violence in the West Bank continues to rise, and that does threaten some regional stability. How are you addressing that?
Well, first of all, I think it's much bloated. You know, when they're talking about it, they're talking about a handful of kids. We actually located, it's about 70 kids. They're not from the West Bank. They actually come from teenagers who come from broken homes, and they do things like chopping the olive trees, and sometimes they try to burn a home. I can't accept that. That's vigilantism. I'm taking that out. But they claim they put a false symmetry between these teenagers and 1,000, actually over 1,000 terrorist attempts, terrorist attacks against the settlers, families, mothers who are driving on the roads there with their children, boom, they're attacked, they're slain. So there's no symmetry. I'm putting a special effort to stop this vigilantism. I can't accept it. Even if it's not parallel, even if it's not symmetrical, I want peaceful coexistence between the Israelis and the Palestinians who live in Judea Samaria, which is part of our ancestral homeland.
The president talked about the threat from Iran. How much has Iran rebuilt its nuclear and ballistic missile capabilities since June?
Well, it's trying to, and the president was correct when he said that, you know, the Fordo thing was obliterated, so they're trying other sites. They'll try that. They also are trying to recover their ballistic missile production facility. It's not... you know, we set them back considerably on both areas, but yeah, they'll try. And I think the president was right to tell them, hey, don't. don't. That's basically what his message was. And I think with Iran, the real issue is they should accept the fact that they shouldn't have enrichment, nuclear enrichment capability. They should take out all the material that they've already enriched, take it out of Iran, and have inspections.
Judging by the president, Iran's president over the weekend said that his country is in, quote, full-scale war with the U.S., Israel, and Europe. What do you think the chances are, if you were to put a percentage on it, that you, Israel, or the U.S. is going to have to take some action again inside Iran?
Well, I'll tell you about action, because I was presented a few days ago, actually 2 weeks ago, with the prospect that they're having field exercises in which they're practicing launching ballistic missiles at Israel. So I passed the message. I think I made it public, so it's not secret. I said, if you dare do that, you know, the results would be devastating. So I hope Iran doesn't make that mistake.
You are a leader who has been embattled.
Right.
You are facing a trial.
Right.
And you say all these positive things are happening, and the war is, in your mind, heading in the right direction. But yet you're facing this trial.
I've been trials and investigations for 10 years. 10 years in these bogus investigations. It's a political trial. The president was right to call for a pardon. And you know what this trial was about? They said that I received a bribe. You know what the bribe was? Favorable coverage in a third-rate internet site. That's the bribe. Two years ago, the judges call the prosecution that is politically motivated, and they tell them, hey, wait a minute. Prime Minister didn't receive positive coverage. He received negative coverage. So you should drop the bribery charge. So what's left? Well, on the first day of my cross-examination, now you got to hear this, okay? Cross-examine. And they say, Prime Minister, 29 years ago, your son received a Bugs Bunny doll. That's what they're cross-examining, and about cigars I received from a friend. That's the trial. So it's ridiculous. It's been dissolving, and the president is right to ask for a pardon.
He said this.
How do you not? He's a wartime prime minister who's a hero. How do you not give a pardon? You know, I think it's a very hard thing not to do it. I spoke to the president, and he tells me it's on its way.
President Herzog's office denies that the president's statement about recent conversation with him on Netanyahu's pardon. There's not been a conversation between President Herzog and President Trump since the pardon request was submitted. That's according to the president's office yesterday. What's your take of where it stands?
Look, I don't know about their conversations, but I do know that the president, who's a terrific friend, he just cuts to the chase, you know. He said, "What the?" You know, he knows this is ridiculous.
Obviously, there's other people that describe the trial differently than you're depicting it, but from your point of view...
Bring your camera.
Right. To the critics who say that you want this war to continue to help your political future, what do you say?
The war to continue?
Yeah, the battle.
This is so vicious and so false. You know, I've been to war. When I was 18 years old, I joined the army and special forces. One of my best friends died in my arms, received a mortar shrapnel. He died in my arms, you know. I lost friends. I lost a brother. I saw what happens to my parents. I saw what happens to bereaved parents in Israel. I just had a family here where the last hostage, a hero of Israel, who died trying to recover his body. He killed 14 terrorists until the last bullet, and he died.
Right, and Ron Gili.
Ron Gili, yeah, he's an incredible hero. And I see the depth of grief, you know. So you have to go through that to understand the cost of war and the pain of war. That's the last thing I want. But I think we've had a tremendous victory, series of victories. But the real victory would be the ability to translate that into the fruits of peace. When I led the country into this war and now lead them into the search for peace. I'm on a mission. And the mission, you don't want power for power's sake. It's what you do with it. And what I want to do is to secure the future of Israel and to give it a future of peace, prosperity, and security. It's not only for us. It's for America. It's for our... You know, I started out with a call and a greetings to our Christian friends. Christians in the Middle East are being persecuted everywhere. So when I talk about helping Israel. We're also talking about helping those in the Arab world and in the Muslim world who want to make peace with us, and minorities like the Druze in Syria and the Christians in Syria and elsewhere, give them a better life, the kind of life that Christians have in Israel and only in Israel and the Middle East.
Last thing, what is the biggest lesson that you've learned since that horrible day of October 7th? And characterize, if you could, what you see about anti-Semitism around the world and where it stands today.
I think the lesson actually goes back to the Holocaust. If somebody says they want to kill you, they want to destroy you, annihilate you, believe them and be prepared at all times to fend them off. We've shown that very ably with the courage of our incredible heroic soldiers, just incredible. With the case of communities around the world of Jews, as in Sydney or Masquerade, or here in the United States, you have these horrible things happen here too. I think it really depends on the position of the government. Do they speak out against it? President Trump does. Many governments don't, and they should. But the Jews around the world should always know that Israel will stand by them and will help governments who want to fight anti-Semitism. And the last thing I would tell you is anti-Semitism starts with the attacks on the Jews, but it never ends there. It goes on to others, blacks, Hispanics, and so on. Eventually, it just poisons the entire society. So it's not merely in the interest of the Jewish people to fight anti-Semitism. It's the interest of all free societies to stop it.
Mr. Prime Minister, we appreciate your time, always.
Thank you, Brett.
Happy New Year.
Good to see you. Happy New Year again.
Thank you.
And many happy returns.
Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974. Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness but love, not only justice but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network,
this is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Mia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
No new answers. Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender! America will get better! Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!
News as it happened then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Italy accused of dressing up as his mom to collect her pension. The man, whose name hasn't been released by authorities, is the son of Graziella Dall'Olio, who had died in 2022 at the age of 82. Police say the 57-year-old man, who's a former nurse and currently unemployed, did not report her death to authorities. When Dall'Olio's ID expired, the son allegedly put on makeup, a wig, and her clothes to pose as his mother and renew her ID. However, the agent that was processing the application noticed dark hair on the back of his neck and on his chin and tipped off authorities to the alleged crime. Officers then went to the elderly woman's home address and found her mummified body in the laundry closet room wrapped in sleeping bags. The man is accused of concealing a corpse, fraud against the state, impersonation, and forgery of a public document. He's accused of removing fluids from his mother's body with a syringe to prevent decomposition. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
As Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine nears the four-year mark, signs of a peace agreement are beginning to show, but despite ongoing negotiations, a concrete plan has yet to be finalized. I spoke with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky earlier this week to discuss the state of the war and where peace negotiations currently stand.
Mr. President, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Brett.
This is our sixth time sitting down together since the beginning of the war. This is a crucial moment for you as you had this meeting with President Trump. What's your assessment coming out of that meeting?
It was a very important meeting. I'm thankful to President Trump. Really, it was a very productive meeting. And in Mar-a-Lago, maybe another mood here, I don't know. But in any way, so our teams worked a lot, and I'm very happy about the last little bit more than 1 month, how our teams worked. Really, I'm thankful.
You talked in percentages and said at one point 95%, 100% on this issue. It's
yeah.
a 20-point plan.
Yes.
It is very detailed, but you are making significant concessions here.
20-point plan, and when I said 90%, it's true, because there are questions with 2 points. That's why I said 90% is really 90%. It's very productive. Even with one question today, we've been very close, and I think we have a problem with one question. It's about territories. Yes, this is a difficult question, but even with this, with the territories, even with the fact that on this one point we have different views with Russians, this is important not with Americans, with Russians. The United States understand the positions of sides, and they try to find a compromise. We spoke about different steps and Ukraine demonstrated during these months, these steps.
You say this is the most difficult part, settling the territorial disputes. Yeah. And you've suggested that Ukraine might be willing to withdraw from Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, Kherson, the four provinces that Ukraine, that Russia wants to annex, but only if it's approved in a referendum that Ukrainians could vote on. Is that still the case?
I think that Ukrainian people has to vote in referendum for the document, 20 points plan. We have a lot of documents. I'm speaking only about this document. Mm-hmm. Referendum gives big, I mean, this, if it approved positively, and I hope that everything will be done and finalized positively. So if Ukrainian nation will approve it positively, it's a great success for President Trump because it's under his leadership. So what we have now, we have the question with the territories, and we can't, it's not about referendum or parliament or the president. We can't just withdraw. It's out of our law. We can't just withdraw from our territories. It's not only the law. People live there. 300,000 people live there. We can't lose just people. We can't go out because 100,000 have been wounded. Dozens of them have been killed there. And so I said that it's not only about the law and also our army there. That's why we proposed, I think, the compromise. If we do free economic zone, that we have, and we have to move some kilometers back, it means that Russia has to make mirror steps some kilometers back. And this free economic zone will have specific rules. If we will decide, the decision will be about economic zone, something like this, referendum is the way how to accept it or not accept.
If we look at the attacks by Russia into Kyiv, drones, missiles, you go back to the beginning of the year all the way through December, it has picked up significantly. There's so many more attacks towards the end of the year. Is there any indication that you see that Vladimir Putin wants peace by what he's doing or saying?
Me not, be honest, and I don't see it because, first of all, I don't hear it publicly. His messages, they go, he doesn't speak about this. Now he doesn't speak. He says that he can go further. It's not the signals of peace. So that's why, of course, we need dialogue of and pressure from President Trump. Sanctions, dialogue, he has some instruments, and he personally can do it, I think. And he's trying to do it, trying to bring this peace.
But you listened to him, and you heard him talk about his call with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And he speaks positively about it. In fact, there was one point in the press conference where he said this.
Russia's going to be helping. Russia wants to see Ukraine succeed.
There was a pan over to your reaction, and you kind of had a... Your eyebrows went up and you smiled a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't agree with that?
No, it's not about agree. I don't trust Russians, and they don't want. I don't trust Putin, and he doesn't want success for Ukraine. Really, he doesn't want. He can say it. I believe that he can say such words to President Trump. I believe in it that he can say it, but it's not truth, really. He doesn't want to have from President Trump more pressure with sanctions and etc. He can say that I want success for Ukraine and I'm ready to give them cheap electricity. Really, between us, we don't need cheap. This energy because we paid so great. This price our lives. It's not about energy. We don't need anything from them. That's why I think its message is for President Trump. Yes, to find a way how to communicate with him.
Yeah, the question was about helping with reconstruction after the war, and that Russia wants to help. And
they have to give us money.
Yeah,
they can give us money. Money for this, and we will rebuild everything what we need to rebuild, and we will decide what to do.
President Trump and Steve Witkoff, his envoy, sometimes say Ukraine is losing the war, and then sometimes they say Ukraine can't win. You don't agree with that?
Yes, I can explain. It's understandable that when Russia is occupying about 3,000 kilometers per year, these last 2 years, it's understandable that it looks that we are not winning. But it's not real fact, because the fact, the price of these 3,000 kilometers for this year, the price was 400,000 people, Russian soldiers. Now Russia loses 31,000 soldiers killed per month. I'm not speaking about wounded. 31. It's a real fact because of the drones. We have now video confirmations of all these killed people. If you look at the people, they are losing. If you look at the kilometers, they are winning.
Do you think you could win or end this war on your terms if the U.S. withdraws support? If they get frustrated in this process and you can't get it across the finish line, can you end this?
If we are speaking, can we win without American support? No. Because we can't first. We will think about, all the soldiers will think only about their families. And without American support, we can't defend this country. Even now it's very difficult. But American support with missiles for air defense, really helpful and strong in any case. Russia uses hundreds, you see hundreds and thousands of drones and missiles. So it's difficult. You know, it's not enough air defense. And on the battlefield, we use some weapon which we buy from America, some rounds, artillery and etc. from America. Without it, of course, we can't win.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
So just take us behind the scenes in this meeting. Was the meeting with President Trump about you trying to convince him of your pathway to peace, or him trying to convince you of his?
Who can convince him? We can have only dialogue. And I think this is good that we had very open dialogue and we know each other.
From the very beginning of the war.
You're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now.
I mean, your relationship has evolved. Evolved over the...
It's true. We know as each other. And so we're not convincing each other. It's about, I think it's more difficult than convince two presidents each other. It's because it's about people, it's about nation. You need really recognize the will of people, and you need to respect it.
The security guarantee.
Yeah.
Do you need Congress to vote on that so that it is long-term beyond this president?
We respect President Trump, and his decision is powerful, but of course we need Congress for this, maybe Senate or Congress. I don't
to ratify.
Know. Yeah. So, of course, we legally binding want to have these security guarantees. Today we spoke with the president, and there is a proposition. The first is security guarantees for 15 years. It's a good proposition with possibility of continuation. But we spoke with President, and I was very open with him that, Mr. President, I said, look, we have now the war, which is almost 15 years. We respect this proposition, but maybe we can make more. And he said he will work on it. And I hope that it can be more years and with Congress.
So is it a NATO-like security guarantee,
yes,
but not NATO?
Yeah, it's not NATO. Of course, it's a bilateral security guarantees Ukraine-America document, but it's NATO mirror. Yes, NATO-like.
People are tired in Ukraine, right? They're very resilient. They've been fighting all this time.
Yes, sir.
But they're tired. Are they ready for a deal?
People want this. Today, President Trump said, I saw the polls that 85%, maybe 87%, he said first, want peace, so they agree. I said, yeah, you know, this is our life. 87% support this. At the same time, 85% against to withdraw from East, you know, from the Donbass. It's been that everybody wants peace, but just peace.
But that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Is the territory.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
So how do you get to yes?
All the parties have to understand that the worst way is to go out from the Donbass. It will be big risks for Ukraine, not acceptable by Ukrainians, but they will, just personally, and referendum will not be positive. Of course, referendum is, if we will go to referendum, is very important, but if we are not stupid, we can't go to referendum. All of us, after signing with President Trump, with me, after signing this, we can't go to referendum knowing that referendum will,
fail.
I mean, I think it's stupid. I think so. That's why we have to find real peace, real way to peace, which is acceptable by Ukrainian nation.
You think it's possible, though?
We have to do it. We have to do it. We don't have other way. Other way, it will be the war. Continuation.
As you look at the battle lines, they have not moved that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically the same map.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have successful things. We have to understand. The number of their soldiers is decreasing because before this year, the number was increasing. They mobilized each month 43,000 people, signed the contracts. And this year, first time, the number of mobilized people and the number of losses, the same. So, 2025. The first time when their number of their army began, they stopped increasing. So we think that the 2026, God bless, we will stop the war. Otherwise, Putin will decide to mobilize people. So now he has contracts because his nation doesn't respect mobilization. He will have problems with his society, if it's understandable. Yeah. That's why he doesn't want to make mobilization. He can, but I'm sure that he doesn't want. That's why I think that now we and Russians, in the situation when United States can move the situation to the peace quicker.
Put pressure on Putin.
It's true.
And do the Europeans want to see that too?
Yes.
Does President Trump want to see that?
I hope so.
There is still concern in the U.S. and a number of quarters about corruption, about money going in. You know, you had in recent days Ukraine's anti-corruption agency raided government offices in parliament tied to this $100 million kickback scheme involving members tied to you. There were five suspects, including your ally, Timur Mendic, as well as your justice minister, who were charged last month with money laundering. And then you had anti-corruption officers raid the home of your former chief of staff, Andriy Yermak. He has not been charged, but he did resign. This is happening. So what do you say to people about the concern about corruption inside Ukraine today?
Look, I'm focusing on the war. What about anti-corruption agencies? They do what they have to do. They have all their independence. Nobody is stopping there. They are checking what they have to do, and we are not stopping. It doesn't matter what person, close or not, we know that or not, or we don't. I mean, they have to do their work. This is war. This is democracy the same way. Yes, and we have to respect it, of course.
But you're concerned about it.
Concerned? No, of course. Look, of course, a lot of concerns. Because, you know, the problem is, Brad, that from the very beginning of the war, you know, all the institutions, they didn't work. And a lot of steps governmental institutions did, you know, like during the war. I don't know if you understand. I think you understand. Yeah. During the war, it's not according to the rules and etc. That's why, of course...
I mean, we talked about that on the front line.
We talked about this very thing. But this is the life.
Last thing. If you were to talk directly to Vladimir Putin right now, knowing what you know after meeting with President Trump, you're talking directly to Vladimir Putin, what would you say to him?
I think this is important. That's why I said to President Trump, I think that the question of territory, the question of reasons of this war, why he occupied us, and I think it was useful to speak, not because I don't want to speak with him. He's enemy for me. But I think that it's important to speak only for one thing. We have to understand, we don't want the sword war from Russia. I don't trust him, and I will not. But, and he also doesn't trust me, it's understandable. But this is the problem that, you know, my feeling that his goal was occupation of all our territory, of all our country. And I really want to hear and to see that that he will not come again.
Mr. President, we appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Stay informed with our county's most reliable news. Tune to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief provides precise, local-only updates and compelling discussions critical to our community. Have a lead? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or reach out via socials at townhallbrief on linktree.com to send a DM. The Town Hall Brief, the authoritative source for Shasta County news, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.